What are the common causes of death for a god in the ancient world? Stay tuned for Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Welcome to this weekend broadcast of Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is a minister of preaching and teaching at St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. By biblical standards as well as pagan religions, a god by definition is an eternal immortal being. Therefore, he cannot die. Jesus, the God-man, died, yet it was his human nature that experienced the power of death for a time, only to be raised on the third day and exalted to the right hand of God the Father. That was not the case for Herod. In the midst of a public assembly, the angel of the Lord struck him dead. What did Herod do in order to rouse the Lord's quick judgment? Actually, the question is, what didn't he do? As we continue our study of the book of Acts, Dr. Sproul will remind us how God will not share his glory with another. With more on that, here's our teacher with The Death of Herod.
Let's look now at the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20, reading through chapter 13, verse 3. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. He who has ears to hear the word of God, let him hear. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we continue to listen to the record of your providential hand by which your church was established in the first century, your defense of those who were commissioned to that ministry, your judgment upon those who resisted it, we pray that we may be instructed and encouraged by your providential care of all of your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We just heard about the persecution that Herod Agrippa had carried out against the saints in Jerusalem, harassing them, putting the apostle James to death, shutting up Peter in prison before his miraculous and supernatural rescue by the angel of the Lord. And now the attention comes to this brief interlude of what is going on with Herod Agrippa. Because after Agrippa had finished this persecution in Jerusalem, he returned to Caesarea. And Caesarea was the city where the Roman representative would always keep a residence. But let's look at the text as it reads in verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now we don't know what it was that precipitated this fury by Agrippa against the people of Tyre and Sidon. But we know that Tyre and Sidon were the two chief cities of the ancient Phoenician people. Some of you, when you study world history in school, can include in that study a history of the Phoenicians because their civilization went so far back in history and they developed a very profitable sea trade. They were known for their commercial prowess and had been involved in trading with the nation of Israel at this time for over 1,000 years. You remember back in the Old Testament that when Solomon built the temple, he went to Tyre, to Hiram, the king of Tyre, who would provide certain materials and provisions for the Jewish king to build the temple. And so we had this international trade going back and forth for over a millennium, and something disturbed that relationship. And now the king of the Jews is enraged against the Phoenicians and obviously had cut off the supplies of the Israelites from the Phoenicians. And the principal good that the Phoenicians relied upon from the Jews was the importing of grain. So you can imagine what would happen to our nation if we lost all of the grain that was produced here or coming here from another nation. I might just add parenthetically just a brief little axiom of world history and economics. The phrase goes like this, that when goods and services freely cross borders, soldiers rarely do. But when borders are stopped for the transport of goods and services, that will often produce the kind of rage that we read about here that will then escalate into full-blown war. And so the people of Phoenicia are hurting at this point, and they send a delegation because they have a friend in the court, the chamberlain of King Agrippa, is known to the representatives of the Phoenicians. The representatives come to this chamberlain and they sue for peace and beg for an opportunity to meet with Agrippa to resolve these difficulties so that they can restore the transportation of foodstuffs. Now let's listen to Luke's description of what happens. So on the set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. He was eaten by worms and died. Now this terse, brief account of the death of King Agrippa is interesting as far as it goes. But this is one of those texts in the New Testament that is elucidated by much further and expanded description by a first century historian of the Jews, namely Josephus. I always encourage my students in the seminary that in addition to their studies of the New Testament, they ought not to be without a copy of Josephus' Jewish Antiquities, because he gives such a gripping account of the history of the first century and what went on up till the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And this, I believe it's in the 19th section or chapter of Josephus' Antiquities, that he gives a description of the death of Herod Agrippa. And at every point he agrees with Luke's account, but he adds some fascinating details. He tells us that this all started on the 1st of August, which was the annual date that celebrated the building of the city of Caesarea in honor of Tiberius, who was then the ruling emperor of Rome. And there would be a time of celebration, and the reigning king of Israel would put on a big show. And so Agrippa had organized all these games and productions that would be taking place in Caesarea. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, I'm sure some of you have, you've possibly been to Caesarea, because where this oration was given and where his throne was set was in the theater there, which ruins remain to this very day. I've been there and stood in the very place where Agrippa gave this oration, and not that that gives it any significance, but it's interesting to have seen it with my own eyes. But in any case, Agrippa, for this occasion, changes his normal royal garments and has a specially made robe fabricated for the occasion, which was made by sewing fine threads of pure silver. So that now the royal garment that he wears on this day is pure silver. And he orchestrates his appearance and his public oration to take place early in the morning when the sun now comes in and glistens and glitters and shines off of this pure silver garment that has been woven. And it is so spectacular, so much more majestic than his normal garments, that the people see this in the radiant sunlight and think they're in the presence now of deity. And so they cry out as they listen to this message from Agrippa, "It's the voice of a god and not merely a man." Now, on several occasions in the book of Acts, we find people who are mistaken for gods. That happened to Peter, it happens to Paul, and any time that takes place in Scripture, even if it's an angel from heaven who comes to make an announcement and is mistaken for God, in every one of those occasions, that human or angelic personage admonishes and rebukes people from offering worship to them, because they understand that God and God alone is worthy of worship. But instead of rebuking the people and admonishing them for this acclamation, Agrippa basks in it. He's loving every second of this adulation from the people until, as Josephus tells us later, in the very midst of this moment, he doubles over in excruciating pain and is physically carried out away from the amphitheater, where he is taken into somebody's quarters, and there he lies in ongoing pain for 5 days and dies. Now, we don't know what it was that killed him. Luke, even though he was a physician, does not give us the name of the disease. Speculation has been over the years that perhaps it was peritonitis as a result of a burst appendix, which would account for this sudden pain and so on. Others have even considered that he died from arsenic poisoning, because there was always that sort of intrigue going on in the royal courts of the day. But in any case, those diseases would be the secondary reason for his malady and his subsequent death. The primary cause of his death, as Luke gives us, is the judgment of God. Because God will not be mocked. And this king of the Jews had killed the apostle James, had harassed the body of Christ, had thrown Peter into prison, and now he is arrogating to himself a claim to deity. And at that point, God said, this far and no further. Beloved, there is no more perilous condition for any human being to be in than to have no fear of God in your heart. Remember Belshazzar's feast, when in the midst of his anger, he brought out the holy vessels of God to celebrate with his underlings. And in the midst of that joyous celebration, in the very midst of his arrogance, he looked, and he alone could see the back wall of the auditorium, and he sees the handwriting on the wall. A disembodied hand writing the words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And we are told his knees began to knock, and his lips trembled. And almost as an insignificant postscript, it is added to the text that on that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. It was the same judgment that now comes upon Herod Agrippa, who dies and is eaten with worms. But in stark contrast to the fate of Agrippa, Luke adds the fate of the gospel, where he says, but the word of God grew. The word of God multiplied. The worms didn't eat the gospel, they ate the king. And the gospel flourished. And then quickly we read that Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, where they fulfilled their ministry and took John Mark with them. And we get a little brief introduction about those who were the leaders in the church of Antioch at this time. Listen, in the church there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, who may have possibly have been Simon of Cyrene, who was the man who carried part of the cross of Jesus, Lucius of Cyrene, who could have been Luke, or the Lucius that Paul mentions in Romans, we don't know for sure. But the one I want you to notice just in passing is Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Actually, he was the foster son of Herod the Tetrarch, who was Herod Antipas, the youngest son of Herod the Great. And here is Menas, who is born and raised in the same household as Herod Antipas. Remember Herod Antipas? You know who he was? You remember his famous festivity and the dance, you know, of Salome and Herodias and all of that, and they brought him the head of John the Baptist on the platter. It was Herod Antipas, that Herod Antipas who had John the Baptist murdered. It was that Herod Antipas that was involved in the trial of Jesus when they kept passing Jesus back and forth between the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. It was Herod Antipas. And imagine this Menahem is raised in the same house, in the same family, being taught the same values as Herod Antipas. Doesn't it remind you of an Old Testament person who was adopted into the house of Pharaoh, trained in the arts, the medicine, and the science of the Egyptians, who then was exiled into the Midianite wilderness until God called him out of the burning bush and set him as the head of his people in the Old Testament? So God will take from the household of Pharaoh Moses and exalt him in his sight. And he will take from the very house of Herod Antipas his foster brother, Menahem, and make him a leader of the apostolic church in Antioch. That's how God works, beloved. Jacob has he loved, Esau has he hated. One is taken, one is left. If you are this morning a Christian, you're a Christian by the same grace that called Menahem out of the household of Herod Antipas. I pray to God that none of you would be the real children of Antipas.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind Weekend Edition, the radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Today's message, The Death of Herod, is from a series by Dr. Sproul entitled The Book of Acts, recorded from the pulpit of St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. If you're hearing this broadcast for the first time, or you're a regular listener but have never contacted us before, we'd like to send you a free copy of a series by Dr. Sproul entitled Providence of God. In this six-part series, Dr. Sproul brilliantly shows the wisdom and power of God's rule, clarifying how God can guide all events without initiating human wickedness or destroying human freedom. And he explains how your prayers are a crucial part of executing God's plan. We'll send you the Providence of God series on three CDs just for contacting us for the first time. So call now. Our phone number is 1-800-435-4343. That's 800-435-4343. You can find us on the web at ligonier.org. Ligonier is spelled L-I-G-O-N-I-E-R. If you're a new listener to Renewing Your Mind, we'd like to introduce ourselves to you. Renewing Your Mind is a radio production of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul. The purpose of Ligonier Ministries is to awaken as many people as possible to the holiness of God by proclaiming, teaching, and defending God's holiness in all its fullness. In order to fulfill that mission, Ligonier Ministries has been producing Christian education materials designed to fill the gap between Sunday school and seminary. For more than 30 years, we've been accomplishing this mission in many ways. Of course, the Renewing Your Mind broadcast is one of those ways. Every day, the teaching of Dr. R.C. Sproul can be heard on hundreds of radio stations within the United States and throughout the world on shortwave radio. The broadcast can also be heard all over the globe on the World Wide Web, reaching even the most remote places in the world that don't have easy access to the quality Christian education we experience here in the West. We also provide hundreds of audio and video materials covering theology, apologetics, the Christian life, and more, as well as over 50 books written by Dr. Sproul. Another major outreach is through our Bible study magazine, Table Talk. Every day, nearly 55,000 subscribers read daily Bible studies, as well as articles from Dr. Sproul and other prominent Christian teachers. To receive a free copy of this award-winning magazine and get better acquainted with Ligonier Ministries, give us a call at 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. A resource consultant is waiting for your call. Or you can log on to our website at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org. If you're not acquainted with what Ligonier Ministries has to offer, then call for a full-color catalog today. For over 30 years, Ligonier Ministries has been producing Christian educational materials designed to fill the gap between Sunday school and seminary. Ligonier has provided Christian laypeople with educational materials on theology, church history, Bible study, apologetics, and Christian ethics. Ligonier Ministries is also dedicated to producing music that reflects the beauty and holiness of God's character. From our foundation, the whole purpose of Ligonier Ministries has been to create tools of education to equip Christians for spiritual growth and godly living. Dr. Sproul has written 60 books and recorded thousands of lectures, many of which you enjoy right here on the Renewing Your Mind broadcast. Each lecture series is ideal for private or group study in your home or church. They're available on popular media formats, including audio and video cassette, CD, DVD, and downloadable MP3. Download Dr. Sproul's lectures to your computer, as well as Dr. Sproul's books and those of other respected authors from past to present. We now have the entire inventory of classic Puritan works since our acquisition of Soli Deo Gloria Ministries, and that inventory is still growing as we continue to publish more classic works. See for yourself the treasury of educational materials here at Ligonier Ministries. Call for a free catalog today. Our number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. That ends our time for this Renewing Your Mind weekend edition. Thank you for listening. Join us next weekend as R.C. continues his exposition of the Book of Acts. Funding for Renewing Your Mind weekend edition comes from listeners just like you in your radio listening area.